Welcome to Ready to Resell, the ultimate podcast for anyone looking to unlock the secrets of successful reselling. Join your hosts Leah and Kayla as we deep dive into the dynamic world of reselling. Whether you're starting as a side hustle or aiming to build a full-time business, our podcast is your go-to resource for actionable advice and inspiration. Tune in and embark on this reselling journey with us. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our next episode of Ready to Resell. I'm Leah, and today I'm here with a very special guest, my dad, Christopher.
Hello.
And today we are going to be talking about photography for resellers. I am super excited about this episode because I learned my passion and learned everything I know about photography from my father. Of course, he is a professional photographer, and to brag on him a little bit, he was in newspaper photography journalism for many, many years and won lots of not only local contests, but statewide photographer of the year, great big awards, those types of things. So he has the very professional side of it. But then if you had listened to a previous episode when I had my other special guest, my mother, we talked about her as a reseller. And so that kind of got you into being a reseller photographer.
And that's what I do a lot. I do all the photography for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I changed a lot over the when I first started. I was trying to do professional photography with all the items listing, and it was taking so long to do it. And I realized I can do things so much simpler. And, you know, we'll share some of these things with everybody too.
So we're going to go over just the basics, obviously why it's important to have good photos, what kind of setup and backgrounds that you could set up for yourself. And then we're going to talk about a little bit of the difference between what photography you do for your listings and the ones that I do, because we sell different items. So our listings might look a little bit differently. But I think we can't stress enough the importance of photography, good photography, for your listings, no matter where you are listing them, whether it's another platform like eBay or Poshmark, you have them on your own website, or even if you're just listing something easily on Facebook Marketplace, it makes a huge difference using good photography for your pictures.
I wish we had some examples to show you, not good examples, but show you some of the bad things that you see on Facebook, YouTube, when people are listing things on for sale on eBay and such, it just, you know when it looks bad. When you're wanting to see something that looks good, you know when it looks bad. But we'll give you some tips, not only to make things look better, but easy ways to do it.
Well, I will say some of the worst ones I've seen. One is people just throw an item on the floor and take a picture, and they have no idea their cat sitting in the picture.
I have seen feet in pictures before.
I don't want to see your feet when I'm buying an item, especially clothes. No, thank you.
No.
I think one of the biggest mistakes, and I know some of my early photography for reselling, the problem is the lighting. It either is usually too dark and you can't see the item very well, or I'm using my camera on my phone and it manipulates the color. And so the picture comes out, especially when you're doing a color like coral, maybe the shorts I was just recently taking a picture of, they're more orange, but then my camera decided to make them more red. I was like, well, that's completely the wrong color. So.
And one of the things that does that is your background, because your camera will adjust itself, not just the contrast and the lighting, it'll adjust the color sometimes.
So what is your setup like for your reseller at home?
Well, I would say have an area, a sheet. I have a tablecloth, neutral color, not black, not white, but a neutral color. You know, your blue that you have on right there, that or even lighter possibly.
Yeah.
I have a beige tablecloth. It was a commercial grade tablecloth. And one thing that's neat was we do all of our photography on that color, so that when someone's looking at multiple listings, we have that continuity between listings and the photographs. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of like makes it, you know, familiar. The background doesn't change a lot. I do have a couple of napkins. I have a red napkin and a black napkin, and kind of depend on what I'm taking a picture of. Especially if it's Christmassy time, I'll put a napkin just so you can see it has a triangle on it, and then I'll set glasses or plates or whatever it is that we're doing. Set them out that way. But yeah, lighting's a big deal. Lighting can change your color, but your background can change your color too. You want to have a pretty neutral color, not too bright. I mentioned your blue there. That's probably a little bit too bright of a color. You see our wonderful background here. By the way, we're in a side room of the warehouse.
Yes. And we have a lot of boxes in the background. We figured we try to clean up and then we realize we're shippers. We have boxes everywhere.
That color would be a great color.
It would be. And I think that's important to note is that you want a contrasting color from the item that you are selling. Because we do a lot of clothes. For example, Kayla was just trying to take pictures of white jeans. Well, you don't want white jeans on a white background
No.
because it just completely blends together. So,
Again, like I started saying, don't get no black cloth, no white cloth as far as you're getting a tablecloth. That just throws your colors off. It throws your flash off. Yeah, not all white, not all black. And when you take your pictures, don't use just a flash. A flash is okay, but don't use your flash only. I use By the way, I'll take my picture during the day. If it's nighttime and I need pictures, I'm gonna wait till the morning because I open the shades and I get some side light, get the room kind of lit up. I'm not so much worried about the light on the object, but I get the room lit up. I have a light that would be behind me on a chest of drawers. I turn on it. I point it at the ceiling so that the white ceiling reflects down. And I'll use my flash sometimes. I'll take a couple pictures and see what it looks like. And if it looks good without the flash, I'll do it. But a lot of times I'll use my flash. But don't use your flash only because that just kind of washes out.
yeah.
You don't see any shape or sides or contour to the lamp or the dishes or whatever it is that you're taking.
Do you have a permanent setup, or do you have a setup that you put up and take down every time that you're doing pictures?
It's not permanent, but it stays there. I have a doggy door, accordion folding gate.
Yes.
Okay, and it's sitting on top of a table, and I drape the material over the backside of it, and it comes down and comes over to the front.
Are y'all listening to this? This is a professional photographer who literally has a used doggy gate and a old tablecloth, and that's his setup. You don't have to go buy these expensive box lighting kits and photography lighting kits that
No.
you
I
see in
have
all your
them.
ads.
I have them. I have what they call them B lights and stuff like that you see when you go into a photo studio and the side lighting and they've got these big scrims on them and everything. I have them, but no, I don't use it. Not with this stuff. I have cameras that are unbelievable. In fact, when I first started taking photographs for my wife's resale, I was using my really good camera. I had this honker,
Very expensive, very good camera.
nine frames per second and all that kind of stuff like that. And I'm realizing, it's just so much easier for me to use I use my phone. I went from using my big fancy camera to using a point and shoot, and that was a little bit easier. And now, as good as phones are, I just use my phone. Just use my cell phone.
I mean, they're fantastic. Everything, I mean, I only use my phone because that's how it is. And they really make really good pictures. And I especially like that you can change the size of the picture. We sell a lot on Poshmark. It requires a square. So trying to take a rectangular, either horizontal or vertical, and it cuts it down, it cuts things out. So I just automatically have my phone take square pictures. Don't even have to think about it, upload it that way.
By the way,
So.
I use an Android phone. Apples are a little bit different as far as transferring your photos to your computer, but Androids, I know you can just plug in your phone and plug it into your USB port, and you can download it just like you're downloading from a file.
Yeah.
Apples, and I'm not familiar with the way they are right now. They used to be real difficult. You had to upload to the cloud and then download from the cloud. Maybe they've gotten easier than that.
We're Android
If
people.
so, if you have an Apple, you'll figure it out. But it's easy to transfer files. If you find it difficult, use a point and shoot camera. A simple point and shoot camera. You can buy them used really super cheap. Because you can pull that little memory card out and plug it into your laptop or your computer and quickly download your picture that way.
Do you do any editing of your photos before you put them in listings?
No. Cropping if I have to, but I try just because of speed's sake. And I'm a perfectionist when it comes to photographs. I can really work on a portrait of somebody but when it just for speed's sake when I'm doing listings, because I'm taking a lot of photographs per item and listing a lot of items, and that you want to get and go, just get and go. So I try to shoot and have that picture the way it's going to go. So I don't edit anything after I shoot them.
And I think that's a really good piece of advice is if you have a good setup, you have a good background, if you have good lighting, do all of that pre-work, then your pictures come out good enough just to
Do
go ahead
that.
and upload, and you're not spending that post time editing, changing the lighting, that type of thing. So you're really saving, if you take the time to set it up right at the beginning, you're saving a lot of time in that back end.
And if you're a reseller, you should be counting your time as far as what your profits and margins are, because if it takes, like I said, I was shooting with my real fancy cameras and stuff like that. If it's taking you a long time, that's money. You know,
Yes.
that you need to count that, at least to count it in your head, as far as your profit margins and stuff like that. You don't want to take all this time and make a little bit of money off of it.
I want to talk about taking pictures of actual items, specifically because you and I do, we sell different things. So I do mainly overstock, really on apparel is our biggest thing. And then y'all do.
A lot of different things. I mean, I very little apparel, and any some of the hot. Again, my wife is the one that does all the shopping. She does the research, plateware, and it has to be a certain kind,
Like dishes, china, that type of
because
thing.
she's looked on eBay and see what sells and how much profit margin other people gain. There's things that she won't buy. And some of the real popular things aren't the things that are bringing money now. Classic games.
Yeah, board games are big.
Goodness, just all anything that you are selling or reselling, we do. 'Cause my wife's motto is, I'll buy anything that I make a buck off of.
And that's legal. We'll get that a little asterisk there. And that's legal.
And by the way, we do everything we do now. We start off we were garage selling as a hobby. We got into estate sales after that, mostly as a hobby. But then you took us to our first auction.
Live auction. So when, I mean, not just online auction, but
Yeah.
going to an auction
And it was
house.
fun. It was, and by the way, it's nothing like the things on TV, but it was fun. So you took us to our first auction, and that's when we started thinking in terms of buying to make money.
And live auctions, not just online auctions, but going to an auction house, raising the little paddle, bidding against other
And
people.
we would go, it was so much fun. It wasn't anything like the TV drama that they do, but it was just a blast. You see the same people, you root for each other. It was really neat.
Really do become friends with everybody.
Yeah, we were looking forward to seeing each other,
Yeah.
laughing, high five when somebody does a good job. Then, well, our auction, we went to a few, but we found one that we really like. We only go to one. We just really like it. They have a lot of material, a lot of variety. And then during COVID, they went to online only. And it turned out that that was really good for them and really good for everybody else.
Yeah.
They could have so much more material. They took out all the chairs and things for an auction, and now they just have tables of the material. And now that, of course, after things open back up, whenever we go to pick up items, we get to look at what's going on for next week, and we can go through the items. And that's the way we're buying. So maybe you might find an auction that you like, but they're a ton of fun. And ours is strictly online only now, and they have about 2 or 3 weeks worth of stuff that you can go online and see.
I think the auction house, I know especially early on, is a great example. This one specifically that he's talking about going to, a great example of what not to do. Because early on, a lot of their photography, when they would take pictures and were first doing
Now,
online, was terrible.
one thing is about you didn't know the size of things. They'd take a photograph of something, and then you go and find that that lamp was actually 3 feet tall and not a tabletop lamp. They have gotten way better. They actually use backgrounds now.
Yeah, they were just having an item on a table, snap it. There's a whole bunch of other stuff in the picture.
And
You don't know the size.
it was two photographs the same way. Two photo, and it's like you're taking the two pictures of the same thing. Oh, let's get into some ways of taking good pictures.
Yes.
One thing is lots of pictures. Take lots of pictures. I would say 8 pictures of everything that you're going to take pictures. Even if you're taking a picture of a computer mouse. Because this is a great tip. Take photographs like you would shop, like you were shopping for an item. Because if you were shopping for an item, you're going to look on the top, you're going to flip it over, you're going to look on the bottom, you're going to look for a tag, you're going to look at a seam, you're going to look at the color. If it's a vase or cup, you're going to look down inside of it. And those are the things that you want to take a picture of. So take photographs like it was something that you were shopping for. And I would say 8 photographs minimum.
I know that, and there's a lot of newsletters and studies and things that are out there about the algorithms, but I feel like most of the platforms we sell on, they do encourage, and they say, I think it's at least 4, but 8 is a good number to hit for photographs. You have I don't know if it's 10% or 20%, but a more percentage of it selling. I'll take 5% of it selling better, even just to take a couple of extra pictures.
The platform we use, they allow 12 pictures, and that's a lot.
Yeah, 12 might be a lot of one
But
item.
now, if we're taking pictures of a game, a classic games, we make lots of money off of that too. I'll start off with the box. I won't open it up. I'll take a picture of the box. If there's damage on the corner, take a picture of that. If there's a close-up, I'll flip it over there. And then I'll open up the box and I'll start taking clusters of pictures, of game pieces, close-ups. Again, take pictures like it was something that you were shopping for. You would want to look at something up close. You want to see what it was shaped like.
Yeah, the buyers, that's all they have. They have your pictures and they have your description 100% to make their decision if they're going to buy it or not. So the more information that you give them, the more pictures that you give them, the more likely they're going to buy it.
So taking lots of pictures, big tip, look at your pictures as you're taking them. I'll shoot an item, 8 to 10 pictures, but after each shot, I look at the picture. I don't wait to the end. I look at the picture, and if it's not a good picture, I delete it. That's just
That's a good, really
one
good
less picture to
advice.
have to look at. I go ahead and I delete it right there, and then I retake that picture. I don't wait to the end and then go back and edit through and take out the bad shots. That's just time consuming.
Well, and it's a good idea to look as you're going because if there is something weird in your background, you don't realize it, then you need to take care of that now before you take 20 pictures and then you realize, oh, there was a weird, string hanging down or something.
And sometimes I have difficulties with things that are shrink wrapped, because that's reflective. And I'll get the light in my dining room above me. I would see it, and kind of reflecting in that. Or so sometimes I'll just take the camera and I'll look and I'll move. I'm looking while I'm moving, get that right angle so I don't have a reflection there. If I'm using a flash, that flash might reflect back in cellophane or a gla certainly glass. Clear glass is really difficult to take a good picture of. I've even taken the same picture of a crystal-looking vase with different backgrounds of the same picture, just so this person say, "Okay, that okay, oh, so that's what the color is." Because glass really throws things off. It's hard to see the contour and stuff of glass.
I like that idea. I'm learning right now. I'm taking an idea of getting the same item and putting different color backgrounds with it so it does help the buyer understand. Because one time we sold a pair of snow boots and they were white snow boots. The tag said white snow boots. And so that's what I listed it at. And she complained afterwards, well, they're not white. They were maybe, I don't know. I don't know if they were slightly off white, but they weren't the white she was looking for. So it might have helped if I had, one or two different colors with it. And so you can kind of see maybe how, even if something was a little bit beigey background, you can see, is it white or is it a little more off-white, cream, that type of thing.
And
So.
not just trying 2 different pictures and deciding which one looks the best. Do 2 different colors, backgrounds, and print them both. Clear glass particularly. And I picked this up by seeing other people do it. They'll take a picture of the glass and then they'll put a white piece of paper inside of
Oh,
it,
that's a good
and then
idea.
take another picture just to give it a perspective of what the contour looks like on that. But yeah, and looking at good photography and other people's listings, I think you do good listings.
Thank you. We've gotten better.
That's where you pick up your ideas.
One of our advantages is because we sell overstock, most of ours, not all of them, but most of our pictures, we can find a stock photo of. And so that helps for us, especially in apparel, because the professional stock photo is typically on a model. So you can see a little bit more, how long are those shorts on that person? It gives a little bit more than just clothes laying flat because we obviously don't wear the items and take pictures in them because one, they're brand new with tags, and two, they're not our size, they're not our clothing. So we just, we have to do all of our clothing either laying flat or on a mannequin. And that doesn't always look, as perfect as it needs to be. So we're in the lucky business of being able to use stock photos. But I feel like most people out there, if you're doing the thrift stores, garage sales, estate sales, or selling your own things, you don't have that advantage. So being able to take good pictures from all different angles is
And
important.
if you use a stock photo, use real photographs too. Because I've
Yes.
seen listings of that have just a stock photo, and I'm buying a used item. I want to see that item,
Yeah.
not just the stock photos.
Well, and it helps the buyer make sure that one, it's real, that you really do have it, and you're not some scammer just putting up a stock photo. But that stock photo typically is just one or two. It might be the model standing forward and the model standing backwards. And then we've gotten the item, and they're like, well, they didn't show that has a zipper pocket. They didn't show this really cool, tie on it. And you get up close and you get all those little details and angles. That's going to help sell that piece even better than whatever store we got the overstock from.
Again, take photographs as if it was an item that you are shopping for.
Yeah.
You want to look in the zipper. You want to look behind the collar. You want to look down inside of that vase, inside the pan, the pot, the pan, and such like that.
I think I have a quick rel new relevant story or current story. So taking pictures, specifically, it makes me think when you're talking about board games or items that have multiple pieces. So for Christmas this year, I got my husband Collins a glassware, a drinking whiskey set. So it was a set of four glasses, and I bought it off of eBay. It's one that I've been looking for the past year, and someone had it up for it as an auction. So they started it pretty low, and there was a couple of us bidding on it. And it was a set of four glasses, and bid, 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 and I ended up winning it. Yay, super excited. And when they shipped it to me, and they had three or four pictures of the glasses. It wasn't a lot, but it was a couple. They actually sent it in the original box. Now, these are vintage glasses. They're not in production anymore. They're very rare and hard to find. And they didn't put in the description and they didn't put in the pictures that it has the original blue velvet display box. If they had done that,
They would have got more
they
money.
would have gotten probably $100 to $200 more. Those boxes alone sell for about $100 to $200. And so I was happy as the buyer. I was like, woohoo, because I got a really good deal in comparison to what I received. But that seller, because they took three or four, and the pictures were ho-hum, I at least knew what the items were. But just for them to snap a quibble pictures, put a two-sentence description, they lost a significant, they probably half of what they could have made if they had just taken a few more minutes and taken a picture of the stupid box.
I bought a history book, and it actually was a book that I had, and I loaned it to somebody, and don't remember who, and I didn't get it back, and it's out of print, and it's pretty expensive, and I found one on eBay, and it, surprisingly, they didn't show up often. One showed up, and it was surprisingly a good price I got it for, and it's a signed copy by the author, but I didn't know it.
Oh, they didn't put the signed
No.
copy
They
in.
didn't take a photograph of the signature. It was signed and dated in the 1960s. The woman who wrote the book had passed away a long time ago. It was a signed copy. Bingo,
Yeah, so worth a lot more
yeah.
than what you originally paid for it. So.
Let's see what. Yeah, take pictures of everything that you can, buttons, zippers, and my gosh, between all the odd things that you sell, the variety of things that we sell, a big variety of what my wife. Like, again, she says, I'll buy anything that I can make money off of. You're selling something that we've already done. We've already listed and done.
Yeah, I think it's just it once again it goes back to, like I said, take lots of pictures. Take pictures as if you were in a store. What are all the different angles? What are all the little nooks and crannies that you're going to look at? That's especially important if you're selling used items. Make sure you clearly showcase any defects, any cracks or tears or whatever it is, and make sure that people can see that and put it in your description too. Don't just put in the pictures. I hate when people say, well, it was in the picture. Please put it in the description too. But once again, this is the only thing that buyers are seeing and reading before they buy something. So you have to give them all of that information.
Some real quick things. If you're taking wardrobe, shirts, clothing, laying them down and photographing down on them is fine. That's fine. Be sure to do that. Lots of pictures, backside collars, close-ups, items that are stand up, lamps, dishes, pots, pans, anything else like that. Don't shoot. Do shoot down it like to show the inside. But most of your shots you want to shoot horizontal. It's like when I teach photography classes and I say, don't shoot down on grandma. Don't go to her birthday party and shoot down it. It doesn't look good when all your photographs are looking down on something. Get down on your knee and take a picture of grandma's face. Shoot down at that level. So, you want to do it up on a table and shoot things that can stand up. Shoot them at that angle. Do get shots down into places that you normally wouldn't be able to see.
But don't make that your main
Yeah.
picture.
But books, magazines, some of the odd things we sold, tractor owner's manuals from the 1950s.
Okay.
John Deere tractors owner's manual and tools and stuff like that made a bunch of money off of those. And they're little pamphlets and stuff like that. And they're pretty interesting too. But those kind of, magazines, manual, lay them out. Lay them out, shoot down on them. But if you have an item that you can shoot sideways on, do most of your pictures that way on it. Watch your lighting. Look at your pictures. Look out for glares. And make sure your pictures are real good. Try to shoot them perfect as you can. Get to where you're not having to edit anything. Get close-ups. Get close-ups. If I was taking a picture of this vest, I'd lay it out and take pictures of it and show it the inside. But then I might take a good close-up of the collar so they can see the stitching, what size zipper that is. Get lots of pictures. Close-ups far away.
There's a little stain right there. No, just kidding. Made you
I'm on vacation.
look.
But what else can you think of? What is your setup? I mentioned what my setup is kind of like, and you have pretty interesting. I noticed, by the way, I watched you doing your auction today. You turn the light off behind you. Wonderful idea, because the camera's on the front of you. You didn't want anything back like that. And you had a little side light too. And you also have your little donut
Ring
light,
light,
ring
ring light,
light.
yeah.
That you use. Those aren't necessary, but those are fine.
Well, we do that. So when in our little office here at the warehouse, there's no windows, so we don't have the benefit of natural light. I wish we did because natural light is the premier light in order to take pictures. So a lot of times we're using our phone, we put it out on a table, and we have a couple of different color tables. So we have white, we have gray, we have black. But the black's a little more of an off black. It's not a black black. But I'm learning from you, I'm really thinking we're going, because we're talking about painting the wall, and we were going to paint it white, but I like the idea of painting it more of a cream
Yeah.
or, beigey color.
Stay away from white and black.
And so, but we either lay it on the table, specifically if we're doing pants, those types of things you can't really put on a mannequin. And then we're up on a ladder because the table's high, obviously. And then if I'm standing too close to it, you can't really look down and get the whole picture. So then we stand up on a little step ladder and stand over it to take the picture of it, for the first main picture. And then we go through and take all the little angles and that type of thing of how many different items we have. But yeah, just from this podcast sitting here, I'm making the decision in my head, okay, the paint that I bought for my wall, I need to return and go get a little bit different color. Maybe if it's a little tinge of blue in there or something that it adds that contrast, because that's something we struggle with is having, we sell a lot of white clothes or black clothes or solid colors that you don't want to have in the same color background. So,
Very cool.
yay.
Very cool. I
Well,
love photography, do a lot of different photography. Something I carry over into my resale photography is don't delete your files off of your computer too soon. Keep them for a while until after you have them listed up. You want to be sure to have a backup in case something happens to your camera and you lose everything. Upload them quickly onto your computer where they're nice and safe. Again, I'm thinking about years of newspaper photography I've
Sounds like you've had a
done,
lot of mistakes that way and
where you've
losing a lot
had,
of photography.
I've, you lose a file and that's the end of it. But yeah, that's.
It's so critically important. It can make or break your sales. I've had it in the past where we've had items that have sat there for a really long time, especially items that are listed early on and the pictures weren't that good, and then went back, added new pictures, and it sells very quickly. So it can change how much you sell it for, how quickly you sell it. That's the importance of having good photography. So thank you so much for listening to this episode of Ready to Resell, and we will hopefully catch up with you soon. Happy reselling! Thank you so much for listening to Ready to Resell. We are so excited to go on this reselling journey with you as you grow your business. Please check out readytoresell.com. It is our reseller hub that has our social media. You can browse bulk inventory to purchase, has been in our inventory app, and also ways to contact us with questions or suggestions for future episodes. Happy reselling!